Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 351, as this week we bring you the first hour of WWE's Great American Bash 2004. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil, joined by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, Jim Valley. So, Jim, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to 2004, and watch WWE screw up a WCW pay-per-view concept?
Well, it's just the latest WCW concept they screwed up, so why not?
Okay, that sounds good. And I want to thank all of you listening. Our 350th episode got us way up the charts in the U.S. here, in Canada, Ireland again, as we were now the number 53rd, the 53rd most listened to wrestling podcast of all time in Ireland. Up in India, that's good enough. Thank you for that. We'll give everybody another, I think we might give everybody through Monday if you want to sign up at patreon.com/waybackplayback and get on the time traveler tier for $3.50 to honor our 350th episode. And don't forget, on Tuesday, we'll just jack it back to the regular price. So, and thank you, by the way, happy Memorial Day. And Jim, thank you as always for your service to our country. And there's a 500-mile auto race followed by a 600-mile auto race followed by double or nothing. So I think we're in great shape today.
Sounds like fun.
I don't know when people are going to find the time to listen to it, but as long as they do, that's what we care about. Okay. All right. So this is Sunday, June 27th, 2004. And this is not a show which I remember this very well because I was not looking forward to the show. Bruce Mitchell was not looking forward to the show. Pretty much none of us were looking forward to the show because WWE had decided that they were doing this brand split. And now, Jim, do you remember the reason for the brand split?
Because they had so much talent, they needed to expose people to different brands so they got TV time.
No, that's not it. The reason why they were doing this is so that they could get to 20 pay-per-views a year.
Oh, right. It's always about the money.
Yes, and the Great American Bash is one of them. So in this particular stretch, we had on June 13th, 2004, we had Bad Blood, which was a Raw pay-per-view, followed by this on the 27th, 2 weeks later, the Great American Bash, a SmackDown pay-per-view, followed by Vengeance 2 weeks after this, July 11th. So that's right, three WWE pay-per-views in 28 days.
And think about this.
Full
price. That was back when you paid for each individual paper.
Yeah. So, you really had to do a sell job, you know, to convince people that what they were watching is special. And I don't know that this was it, frankly. Let's see. Okay. So we hit it's Sunday, June 27th. SmackDown is doing the Great American Bash in Norfolk, Virginia at the Norfolk Scope in front of 6,500 people, 5,500 of which were paid, and the Scope holds more people than that, as you probably know. And a special added bonus, Vince McMahon is suffering from a bout of diverticulitis, so he is not at the pay-per-view for the first time in goodness knows how long, which in and of itself is crazy. And since then we've had Vince miss a few pay-per-views, and the world has not come to an end.
Eat your vegetables, kids.
That's a good lesson for this. Okay, so also on this day, of course, since there were split brands, that meant Raw was doing a show on Great American Bash Day. They had the matinee show in Salisbury, Maryland, which, by the way, is the site of the wrestling challenge we just did on the bonus episode. So 2,200 people showed up in Salisbury, Maryland to see WWE Women's Champion Trish Stratus defeat Victoria and WWE World Champion Chris Benoit beat Triple H by submission. Huge crowd turning out in Salisbury. The previous show for TNA, they taped TNA Impact on June 24th in Orlando. It aired Friday. They taped it Thursday to air Friday night. On that episode, it was the Canadian team of Bobby Roode and Petey Williams defeating America's Most Wanted. And in the main event, Jim, AJ Styles and D'Lo Brown defeated Abyss and Dallas. Dallas is better known today as Lance Archer, under the heading of Bizarre Tag Team Matches.
Yeah, God, everybody went through TNA.
Yeah, I mean that's yeah. I mean, you got, you know, you got something. It was just a weird mix. Also, Ring of Honor had its Survival of the Fittest show, its first one, I think, on Thursday, June 24th, in Essington, Pennsylvania. On that show, CM Punk issued an open challenge after a tag team match, and his open challenge was answered by a young wrestler formerly known as Hydro, who is now known as Jay Lethal. And this was Jay Lethal's breakout match. He had a really long and good match with CM Punk, and Punk beat him. And the main event, Bryan Danielson won Survival of the Fittest in the end. It was six individual qualifying matches, ending with a six-way elimination match, a six-way dance. Danielson wins by pinning Austin Aries in the end, and that gives Bryan Danielson a shot at the ROH title and the ROH champion Samoa Joe. Yay. Okay. New Japan. They had a show. They had a show at the New Japan Dojo in Santa Monica, California on Saturday night, June 26th, in front of 406 people, Jim. On that show, it was Ring of Honor champion Samoa Joe beating Shinya Mikabe. And in the main event, Ultimo Dragon defeated Bryan Danielson by disqualification.
See, Ultimo Dragon versus American Dragon.
That's right. And, yep, in America. Nobody remembers it. It's okay. Well, actually, I'm sure Bryan Danielson remembers it. He's good about that. Pro Wrestling Noah was at Corican Hall. They were doing a live TV show in front of 2,100 people who saw Yoshihiro Takayama defeat Kenta. And in the big six-man main event, it was Kenta Kobashi, Ricky Marvin, and Takeshi Rikyo defeating Akiyama, Makoto Hashi, and Morishima. Yeah, things were nuts back then. I just don't know what to tell you.
So much talent in Noah back then. It's crazy.
I know. Let's see. Also, the pro wrestling news from that week, courtesy of the Torch and Figure Four Wrestling. WWE Financial Reports indicates that they made boku profits in the second quarter of 2004, $19.7 million in net income for that quarter. However, attendance and buy rates are down, but I'm sure that they'll turn that around any day now. Let's see. Oh, yeah, and Kerry Silken finally bought Ring of Honor from Rob Feinstein and Doug Gentry. And as it turns out, the deal where Doug Gentry took over Ring of Honor ownership from Rob Feinstein after the sex scandal broke was a complete shock. Feinstein was planning to take control of the promotion back within a couple of months. And Wade Keller really shouldn't have taken down my story from the PW Torch website where I said that, because I was right the whole time. Not that I'm bitter. Also, Kid Cash.
Lear took it down then.
What's that?
Did he take it down recently? Or
No, in 2000. No, he took it down like hours after I posted it.
Oh.
Yes.
It's funny that, God, I guess that's been happening with Wade for years, that he doesn't know what's going up on his website.
Anyway, yeah, Kid Cash of TNA gave an interview to Stranglehold.com complaining that there was favoritism in the TNA locker room. Now, imagine that. Oh, and also complaining that wrestlers were no longer allowed to drink alcohol in the locker room.
Jeez.
What a crackdown, boy. I mean, you know.
Bunch of crap that is.
I know.
Bunch of sissies. Supposed to get a couple of six packs.
Yeah.
Some women and get a double shot on the weekend.
Well, as you know, I was working for the Torch then, and you know, and you know, there was a lot of TNA stuff going on, so I would talk to Johnny Fairplay for the inside scoop as to what's going on in TNA, and at one point I asked Johnny about a certain personality, saying, Johnny, why do they bring this guy in to TV every week if they don't use him? And I don't understand this. And Johnny goes, Pat, he's the guy that brings the weed. I'm like, oh, what was I thinking?
Oh, naive Pat.
I know. I that's amazing. I know anything about. I didn't know anything about the wrestling business at all back then.
No.
And it continues to this day. And now commercial time. I don't know if you're aware of this. I don't know if many of you are aware of this, but our show, Way Back Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, we have a Patreon. Yes, we do. And you can go to patreon.com/waybackplayback. And among many things, You can get all 351 episodes of this very program on the Patreon. As a matter of fact, our low tier, the Time Traveler tier, is on sale through Monday, Memorial Day, for $3.50. So all 350 episodes, $3.50. Plus, people on the Time Traveler tier can get episodes before they are released to the general public and can get ad-free episodes, which is what you need. Also, those of you on the Black Scorpion tier know that we have bonuses. We've done bonus episodes. We are doing another bonus episode now that we just started for the September 25th, 1993 episode of WCW Saturday Night. And you can hear that right now. It's already up on Patreon when you subscribe to the Black Scorpion tier. Also, we have added a few more shows from the McNeil Valley Archive to the Black Scorpion tier. We have also placed a couple of other shows that were placed up last year. We've thrown them, we've made them available on the Time Traveler tier for you. There is a lot going on. We are going into the month of June, and it is the perfect time for you to sign up for our Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. Support us, love us, the way we love you. This is one of those times when we have a three-hour show, and the first hour is going to be a bit short. So I figured we'd start off by going to the Sunday Night Heat match. So if everybody can get on the YouTube and follow us over to YouTube and type in Spike Dudley versus Jamie Noble, N-O-B-L-E, if that doesn't ring a bell for you. And it should be the first option on there. This is the Sunday Night Heat match from the Great American Bash 2004. You know it's going to be good because it has the hashtag WWE Classics up in the top right-hand corner. That's a sign of quality.
I'm sold.
Yeah, okay, so we got to hit that, and I think we're going to get to... Oh, hold on a moment. I have to sit through the commercial. Yes, because this nearly needs a commercial here on YouTube. Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, there's other sports on. Wow, thanks, YouTube. I was wondering. Okay, there we go. All right, so we're at... I guess we're at, I'm at 1 second. There's a black screen.
Yep.
Okay. We're all there. Great. Let's all hit play together in 3, 2, 1. All right. So this is Sunday Night Heat. And this is the Great American Bash. And, well, here you go. Doesn't get more American than this. We're at the Norfolk Scope and Spike Dudley's on his way to the ring.
Have you been to the Scope before?
I mean, my fond memory of Norfolk was that I passed the bar exam there. So that was, but no, I don't think I've ever been inside the Scope.
It's like a beautiful arena.
Yeah.
On the outside, looks really cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's set up for basically half a house because they're, yeah. Yeah. They, total of 5,500 paid, 1,000 comped for 6,500. The first, yes, and Michael Cole pointing out the first bash was in 1985, and Jamie Noble's about to be canceled, by the way.
Yes, he is.
He's got the Dukes of Hazzard tights on.
Yes, he does.
That is what he's going for, by the way. He's going for the TV show, The Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, because he's got the number on the side.
Yes.
Yeah. The General Lee, the card.
General Lee, yes. I'm going to eat your face. Well, that's interesting. I don't remember that one.
That's a catchphrase to really catch on, I don't think.
Really? You don't think so?
No.
Yeah, well, but I mean, I know Tom Phillips gave it a try. No, though, that's not what he said. Never mind. Anyway, here we go. Hey, it's very difficult, by the way, to have a bad match with Jamie Noble. I mean,
right.
This is, I mean, a year after this, Jamie Noble became the ROH heavyweight champion, and nobody thought it was a bad idea.
No, he's very, very talented.
Yes, he was, and I got to. I had the privilege of getting to see him live a couple times. There we go.
He and Nydia were a good combination.
Yes, they were. They worked together very well. All right. Yep.
I don't know. I've always thought that for cruiserweight guys, the smaller guys like Jamie Noble and Spike Dudley, that this WWE ring does them no favors.
Oh, no. Or nor does the WWE style, nor, you know.
Or WWE.
In general, yeah.
Or the bosses, yeah. Anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, the WCW ring, I thought was just... I don't know. I think it's more effective. I haven't wrestled, but for me, I would think that if you're big, you look like a giant in a smaller ring.
Yes.
And being in the smaller ring helps people like Rey Mysterio and such.
Right. But, oh, yeah, there is a cement mixer at ringside.
Yes.
We'll get into that.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything.
Oh, no, of course not. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, let's see. Nice.
Is this the final Great American Bash?
No.
Because they changed to the Bash?
The Bash was 2009. They did a few. They did a few awful Great American Bashes. As a matter of fact, I went through and I read in the Observer that the plans were to make the October 2004 bonus pay-per-view Halloween Havoc, and apparently they decided after this show that the problem with the show was the name, you know. So,
well, of course it was.
No Halloween Havoc. Yeah, what else could it be?
Of course it was. Hey. I like all the generic WWE names.
That's right.
Backlash, Upchuck.
Yeah.
Bowel Obstruction, whatever.
Fully Loaded. Battleground.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean that was the standard. You come up with something generic that you can use for that could mean anything.
Yeah.
Of course, now they've gotten away from that, and we got much better show names like Great Balls of Fire and anyway.
The Greatest Royal Rumble.
Greatest Royal Rumble. Yes. Oh, the glass is 3 inches thick in the concrete crypt. I just thought you should know that. Courtesy of Michael Cole. Oh, that's nice. I like that, Jamie. That's how you counter that Dudley dog, whatever they called it. Okay. Now, these are two wrestlers who people know and, you know, obviously are very talented in a match that means absolutely nothing. Oh, look at this. Okay. Oh, no. But all they have to do, I mean, you got the heat match. All you have to do is get the crowd fired up and ready to go.
By the way, for those who don't know, Sunday Night Heat was a show, a one-hour wrestling show on MTV.
Right.
And they would do them live. Pay-per-view, yeah.
There we go. And there he is, Spike Dudley with the victory. My goodness. Congratulations. Hey. Hey. Spike Dudley, the fist bump for Taz. All right. ECW represents. Okay. Okay, that's a perfectly good bonus match there. Let's go back to the commercials for Halo Top and all that great stuff that I get. Mm-hmm. All right, so the Bash is here. First of all, you have to find the Great American Bash on Peacock. Jim, can you give them the pointers on how to do that?
30 minutes later.
I had a much easier time finding the Carol Burnett show on Peacock than I did finding the Great American Bash.
I had much easier time digging up Carol Burnett.
Is she dead?
I believe so, isn't she?
I don't know. All right, I'm going to look that up now. I
thought she passed away.
I mean, we lost Gavin McLeod over the weekend.
Yeah, and BJ Thomas, your favorite singer.
Oh, my
singer.
Gosh. Oh, raindrops keep falling on
I
my
know
head.
You listen to a lot of BJ Thomas at the household, too.
Well, who doesn't?
Thank you.
Between losing him and Mac Davis, I don't know how we're going to survive.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, let's line this thing up and start playing.
Yeah, hold on. We'll look up Carol Burnett here in a second. Okay. Yeah, I'm at 0 seconds and there's a black screen. Jim?
Close enough.
Okay. Oh, and Carol Burnett still alive, by the way. I just thought I'd point that out. Yep, still alive. She is 88 years old.
Good for her. Very happy.
So let's go ahead and hit play together in 3, 2, 1. And we're underway. All right. We're raising the flag over Iwo Jima or something. I pledge allegiance to the flag. Eric, yes. Yes. JBL presents the Great American Bash. All right. Yes. Right. You're a pathetic example of Americans. JBL is at the border chasing off illegal immigrants.
So JBL was Ted Cruz, basically.
I guess. Except some people actually like JBL.
That's true. Yeah, so he had been Bradshaw forever, and he just recently turned into J.R. Ewing.
And, they needed a main event heel, and they didn't have one, so they made JBL into one.
Yeah.
And there's your U.S. champion, John Cena.
He gave very good performances. He wasn't drawing. He didn't draw very well. But
oh, and by the way, the best wrestler on the SmackDown brand, Kurt Angle, is the general manager, and he's in a wheelchair. I just thought I'd point that out. Yeah. Freedom of choice.
I have no recollection of the Dudleys feuding with The Undertaker.
You blocked that, like most of us did.
I guess I did.
Well, Paul Heyman was feuding with The Undertaker. But see, there was this little problem because they had a continuation of the Undertaker-Brock Lesnar feud planned after WrestleMania 20, and Brock didn't stick around. So Paul brought in the Dudleys and his ECW buddies to fight the Undertaker. And, well, this is what we got.
Yeah.
It's every bit as memorable as you can imagine.
Yeah, when I was looking this up, I was like, what?
Yeah, I know.
I remember a different main event for what happens. I don't want to spoil it yet.
A lot of people might have turned off the show after the second to last match. And there she is, Tori Wilson. Wearing the same outfit she wore on the poster.
Yeah, she wore this when she fought Sylvester. She fought the Russian in Rocky V.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
And now, we have a fake flyover. It's time for the Great American Bash.
WWE graphics are always great.
Yeah, the graphics are probably the thing I like best about the WWE version of this show.
This is like whenever they have the British pay-per-views, they always have the phone booth and the black taxis.
Yes. Well, and there's nothing more all-American than a cement mixer, by the way.
No, there's not.
The story tradition continues.
By the way, the scope was where DX did their famous...
Yeah, that's right.
The gun, yeah.
Yeah, one of them was working the scope. The other one was at the Hampton Arena. Yes. All right. You know, I don't think they have to have the cement mixer going for the entire 3 hours. I'm pretty sure.
WWE attention to detail.
That's right. Everybody's ready for this. Carlos Carrera and Hugo Savinovich are here.
Hugo Savinovich is awesome.
Yes, he is. And now we're going to go to the Klingon announced team of Lieutenant Brack and Lieutenant Worf. I was hoping they'd do that one of these months, and they didn't. You know who better to start off the show with than the U.S. champion, John Cena?
It's crazy.
And if you're trying to figure out what that jersey, this is back where John Cena wore expensive throwback jerseys from Mitchell and Ness. I believe the throwback jersey he's wearing is not technically a throwback. It is a Michael Vick jersey from where Michael Vick played college football at Virginia Tech, which is on the other side of the state from Norfolk, but it's all cool. It's all good.
So we've seen Jamie Noble wear the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yep.
And now we've seen John Cena here with, I guess, cultural appropriation. So. With 2004.
Yes, it's going to be a real dogfight here tonight, Jim.
Not woke. Not woke.
No. Where is Kamala? He's not there.
Yes. It's kind of amazing that John Cena's rise to superstardom took longer than you remember.
Yep.
It seemed like he went faster, but, you know, he had, like, this long run.
He had this ascension, yes. Title. No. Cena, they're chanting for Cena. So, yeah, Kurt Angle booked John Cena into a four-way match.
Which, stop me if you heard this booking before. He'd already beaten every one of his opponents.
You are correct, sir. Yes. Actually, what happened was the original lineup had Cena versus Booker T and Rob Van Dam versus Rene Dupri in a flag match. And then they decided having Rene Dupri in a singles match, let alone a stipulation match on pay-per-view, is a horrible idea. So we're going to go ahead and add those to the U.S. title match. Of course, there were many more horrible ideas on the show. Oh, Cena made a reference to Rob Van Dam. He smokes marijuana, kids. Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. He is disrespecting. Yes. Yeah, Rene Dupree's big thing was he danced. Oh, my goodness. Okay. The Navy is here. The entire Navy. Oh, dear. Oh, yeah, this is not woke, Jim.
That joke never gets old.
You know, it really doesn't. Let's see.
No.
Okay, so you saw that. Well, there's a sign in the crowd that says, Annie loves Cena. To which I have to ask, Annie, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay, Annie? There you go. I don't know. Anyway. All right, here comes the first challenger, Rob Van Dam.
Rob Van Dam.
Yep. You're like, yeah, whatever. All right. You know what you're going to get with Rob Van Dam?
Yes, you do.
It's every man for himself, but this is a four-way dance. All three, you know, three guys have to be eliminated. It's not a fatal four-way where the first fall wins it.
You know, we see Ted DiBiase right now on NXT, and Rob Van Dam, when he was a little kid, did a basketball challenge with Ted DiBiase.
Yes, he did. Rene Dupri.
Yeah. Rene Dupri these days, he's isn't he suffering from headaches and other neurological issues?
That sounds right, but
I think that's what I heard, yeah.
Okay. And that's a shame.
Yeah, that's very a shame. I think he does lawn work and mows lawns and stuff.
Yeah, with these head injuries caused by Bob Holly catching up to him after he failed to return a rental car.
In Spokane, Washington.
Yeah. So, okay. All right, here comes Booker T. Okay, so, Rene Dupri is a Canadian pro wrestler currently working for Pro Wrestling NOAH. Are you kidding me?
I don't think anyone's going to NOAH. He wrestled recently.
46. He's 47. He's 47.
Before COVID.
Right.
Is he that old? Wow.
Yep.
Older than I thought.
He's young, yeah. He was young here. Right, okay, he's part of Segura Gun, I guess. Okay, yeah. All right. And here we go, we're underway, all four men in the ring. With the U.S. title on the line, the very prestigious U.S. title. Oh, he's the French phenom, I forgot about that, too. So I'm sure The Undertaker was okay with him being given the nickname French Phenom.
I'm sure he was. Didn't they call him ever like the French Tickler, his dance or something?
Oh, yes. Taz. Yes, that's his dance, because those are the only French references that the writers know or that Vince McMahon knows. Okay. Yes. Well, it was, French fries. Let's see. What else does he have? Yeah. French fries, French toast, and to
Pretty
drink,
much.
Peru. No. Perrier.
Yeah.
All right, RVD and Booker T outside the ring. Okay. Taz, what's your strategy going into a Fatal 4-Way? And Taz says his strategy is to hide until time for the last. Well, there you go.
That's he's going to pull the Zabisco.
Yep. Rene Dupree, here we go. Suplex. All right. They really had high hopes for Rene Dupree. His father, the legendary Emile Dupree.
Why wasn't he any better? Hmm. I mean, you watch him, he's pretty basic. And
yeah.
He's like 30-something here. He should be, I don't know.
No, wait a second. 47 minus, what is this? This is 20. No, this is, yeah, he's 30, right? I guess he's 30 at this point. Oh, well. Well, really, there's no excuse then. What was this guy doing before he got into WWE? Let's see here. Okay. Ohio Valley Wrestling at the age of 18. Wait, he's supposedly 20 here. If he's 20, then how is it? I must be reading this wrong. Oh, he's only, that would make him only 37 right now.
Okay, so you did the math wrong. Okay.
I did the math wrong. 37 years old. So he's got his career ahead of him still.
It's like they tried to make him Rick Martel.
Yes. Do the Rick Martel dance. There it is.
But, I mean, if you watch WWE for, I don't know, a week, you can pick up on the same things that they do over and over and over again. Like that Rick Boogs, I mean, it's just another version of the guy who sang and did the musical introduction.
Right.
I can't give his name now. Anyway, it's just like they have the same ideas over and over again.
Over again, yes. Well, you don't want them to come up with new ideas, right?
No.
Okay. So, according to Wikipedia, when Rene Dupree and Sylvain Grenier won the tag titles, Dupree became the first teenager in the history of WWE to win a championship at the age of 19. He is no longer the youngest person to win the WWE Tag Team Championship. That honor goes to Nicholas, who won the title with Braun Strowman.
Okay, what the hell is that person wearing in the crowd?
I don't know.
Something fuzzy? What, are they a chicken?
I guess.
Oh, no, it's like a hat.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he's got like a fuzzy hat and jacket.
Okay. Maybe he just came from his job at Colonial Williamsburg.
I don't know what that is.
Oh.
He's dressed like Phyllis Diller, I think.
It's not a costume party. It's just a wrestling show.
Yeah, and it's in July.
June, actually, but, you know.
Whatever, yeah, June, whatever.
Oh, there we go. Yep. Rolling Thunder? Okay. Now, I like Booker T and John Cena just sitting out there letting us go, because why wouldn't they?
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah. I mean, I like having wrestlers who remember the rules of the match they're in. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think that's too much to ask. There we go. Okay, they did the slingshot spot, and it didn't look as horrible as they normally do.
Yeah, that looked pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah, I hate that when like a wrestler gets disqualified and thinks he won the title.
Yeah.
Or forgets he's in a battle royal and oh no, my feet. It's like, come on.
Or is around the tooth killings, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's different though. Okay.
Well, that works for him because he's really funny.
They caught him. Okay. They both caught him. That's good. Okay. Here we go.
By the way, John Cena apologized for referring to Virginia as a state and not a commonwealth.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, he had to apologize. Well,
you know, us Virginia natives are sticklers about that, yeah.
Yeah, he had to apologize for that.
That's okay. Only two. Yeah, he was allowed back in the state after that, or the Commonwealth, actually. He was allowed back in the Commonwealth after that. Oh, another roll-up.
A little sloppy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so if you can't make Booker T seem like a serious challenger, just make it three challengers and you're okay. Right?
Works for me.
Sure. Oh, here we go. No. That was close. And no. All right. John Cena, the Jorts era. There we go. That's actually a good idea.
Of course, there's talk of SummerSlam. The rumor, it's going to be Roman Reigns against John Cena.
Okay, so... Well, I mean, the last time we saw John Cena, he was trapped in the Bray Wyatt Funhouse, wasn't he?
There's the French tickler.
Oh, Taz made up a little song to go with that. That's nice.
Oh.
And Taz announced that French tickler means that he tickles French guys.
That's not wrong.
I guess. Why not? All right, there we go. Van Dam.
He tickles all. Rob Van Dam looks like a potato bug.
Yep. Oh wait, no. Oh, he was playing potato bug possum, I guess. Caught John Cena unawares.
So
there was method to his. And so he's going after Booker T instead.
Rob Van Dam is the only one who gets hurt by a splash.
Yeah. You'd think after a few dozen times he'd take the hint there.
I mean, I get he's going for psychology that would be real.
Well,
but
I think he had a shoulder up for that. Rob Van Dam's out of the match. Oh, come on, man.
Oh, well, he's just going to go back out to his car.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
Fans are really, really rooting for Johnson. Hey, well,
yeah. But it's like you got to get rid of Rob Van Dam because he's like probably
the baby face, and you know it's like confusing people.
Yeah, you got to get rid of him.
Oh my! I forgot Cena had the pump up sneakers. Oh, that's right. Oh my gosh. Okay. Hey. Oh, that guy is holding a sign upside down. Yeah. Wow. Overused Billy Dunn. Oh, I get that.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Takes a while to figure that out, but yeah.
Okay.
Don't forget about his sons, the Dunn Club.
Oh, that's right. Oh. What was okay? Word life. All right. Yeah, these are not the best signs. I'm sorry.
No, they're really not.
2004, all the good sign writers have left. Oh no. Oh, they're working together, sort of. They were working together.
Tell me you didn't just do that.
That's it. Uh-oh. Oh! Well, that's a horrific accusation from the crowd. You steal cable. I mean, that's...
Don't do that.
Oh, dude, don't steal cable, kids. No. If you even still have access to cable, don't steal it.
Oh! Are so high, it's like it's so great now to have seven different streaming services that cost as much or more than cable. Yes, so much better.
Yes, it is. All right, he's pumped up his sneakers. Ready to go.
Yeah. Hey, that's a good move. You want that guy to lose? Yeah, kick his arm off.
Yep. There we go. Okay. Cole just explained something useful. The 1,000 comps are members of the armed forces who were let in for free.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay, that is nice. The Great American Bash near a naval base? Yes, it is. All right. So, yeah. So, Booker T eliminated Rene Dupree. And we're down to Cena and Booker. Finally.
Do you know who the referee is, by the way?
I don't. I wasn't paying attention.
I don't know either.
Yeah, he's one of the... I don't know. Some guy. Is it Brian Hebner with a bad haircut?
No, I don't know. I can't tell.
Yeah, okay.
I liked the Booker T. A&E biography.
Yeah.
That was good.
Well, they treated him with some respect. That's always good.
Yeah, and we still got to see Ivan Putski.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Nope. All right. Going to the chin lock.
And I say this as a happily married man, but yeah. Booker T's wife, Charmelle, is a beautiful woman.
Yes, she is.
God, in person? Have you ever seen her in person?
No,
She was at Cauliflower Alley a couple years ago, and God, in person, I'm just like, wow, she's gorgeous. Yeah. Yeah. I got a picture with her and she put her hand on my shoulder and I was like,
that's nice.
Yeah, I know.
Very nice.
I've washed that shoulder since.
Okay, yep. Well, there you go.
But that's just because I'm lazy.
Yeah, I figured it was something like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there we go. Let's see. Oh, credits. Let's see.
Okay, now why is he falling asleep? That's the Cobra Clutch.
Yeah.
Okay, why isn't he falling asleep?
I don't know.
Because we all know that works. That's the Cobra Clutch million-dollar dream there.
I mean, yeah, the audience is falling asleep, so you think...
Well, so it's working.
So, yeah, I mean, so it's gotta work. Let's see here. It might be Brian Hebner. Let's see. I'm going through the list of referees for this show.
I can't tell.
Yeah. Okay, whoever it wasn't a good idea. It wasn't a good haircut.
Now, did you ever have frosted tips?
No. No, I never did.
I did, but not that severe. Just a few.
Okay. So you recovered from them in time?
Yes, yeah. I did.
Oh, there we go. And back comes John Cena.
Frosted tips, by the way, part of a well-balanced breakfast.
Yes, I know. As long as you have toast and juice and whatever else with it, yeah.
And a steak, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There we go. All right.
You can't see me.
You can't see him. All right, time for the five-knuckle shuffle.
Nothing like the rock bottom.
Nope, it's not.
Nothing at the people's elbow, I mean.
Nope. All right, he's pumping up again. Nope. All right. Well, they are pointing out that Booker is a 5-time WCW, former WCW champion, which is... Yeah. We're always going to remember that about him.
He was always a world champion. He never... won the WWE title, did he?
No, he did not.
It was the world title, yeah.
He did win the world title, yes.
The big gold, yeah.
All right, it's time. Here we go. Axe kick? No. All right, there we go.
There it is.
The attitude adjustment. And that's the finish, kids. Yay.
Was the FU back then? Still?
It was the FU back then, yes.
Yeah, and they had to change it because
John Cena. You had the F5 and the and he Lesnar had the F5 and Cena came up with the FU. See?
Yeah.
All right. Yay, John Cena. Okay, so John Cena is your winner.
John Cena's over.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Kurt Angle has to be very upset, according to Cole and Taz.
Well, who doesn't want to see the babyface fight against the corrupt authority figure, because we've never seen that 500 times.
All right, let's look at the highlights here.
It's a hell of a leap by Rob Van Dam.
It is. Okay, so Van Dam hits his finisher, which injures him enough that Cena's able to roll him up for a pin. It does happen.
Yes, Cena got every pin.
No, he didn't. No, I don't think. I think Booker gets this one, actually.
Did Booker get one? Okay.
I think Booker gets this one, yeah.
Okay.
Now, he's got both of them down, so of course he goes to pin Rene Dupree first.
But John knocked Dupree out, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I don't know. Well. Okay, there we go.
Back in the days when one finisher could pin somebody.
I know, isn't that crazy?
That's, oh shit, this is a long time ago, kids.
It is. All right, let's go to backstage. Oh, Charlie and Jackie say congratulations.
Well, that Charlie Haas, yeah, I forgot about Charlie Haas.
What? Yeah.
I loved Kurt Angle in the X-Men.
I know. What? Yeah. Wait, you're complaining? Yeah, so he's complaining about Charlie being a babyface and Charlie dating? I guess, I don't know.
Well, that's his wife, isn't it? Or are they still dating?
Yes, they are. Yeah, I think so. They're still dating at this point, but yeah. He's going to give Charlie Haas a match tonight. All right.
I completely forgot about Jackie. I forgot about Bull.
Yeah. So he's giving Charlie Haas a match next. So really, it's a good thing that Charlie Haas is in his ring gear, as is Jackie.
Oh. Hi,
Sable.
She was back in the company in 2004?
Yes.
Wow.
She's wrestling in this show.
What?
Even next week. Yep. All right. Yeah. That's right. That's right. It's the Battle of the Playmates. Tori Wilson versus Sable. You forgot that happened, didn't you?
I did.
Okay. Wow. Now here we go. It's time. Time for our final match of the episode. Wow.
Really
hi
again.
From Hooters in Fredericksburg. Okay. Hi, Fredericksburg Hooters. And here we go. Right. Charlie Haas has Jackie Gata with him. Or Miss Jackie, as they call her right now. Taz, for some reason, is not talking about letting the pigeons loose. I don't understand this.
Well, it's not Matt Riddle.
No, it's not. Okay. All right. Oh, and his opponent. Yes, it's Roman Reigns' cousin, Luther Reigns. Yep. I know. Hello, Luther. Okay. Yes. Luther Reigns is nasty, according to Michael Cole. Oh, okay.
Isn't he like a cosmetician or something?
Let me see here. Matt Weiss. Yeah, he's okay. Good news is he's alive.
Yeah.
He's almost 50. Let's see. I don't know what he does now.
I thought he was. I thought he was like a cosmetician or something.
Might be.
Personally. I thought he had like a successful business.
Let's see. Yeah, okay.
And then finally went, you know something?
He was in the lawsuit. He was in the lawsuit. The concussion lawsuit.
Yeah, I could make more money than a better lifestyle.
Had a stroke, yeah. You know?
Did he really? Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, that was like 2009. Come on. Trained at the power plant. And also known in WCW as Horseshoe.
I remember that Horseshoe, yeah.
I mean, okay, so. Obviously, this is
stupid names in WCW.
Obviously, this needed pay-per-view time.
Well, I guess you're trying to get over Luther Reigns' Angle's killer.
Yep. Something like that.
Angle's muscle, yeah, Angle's henchman.
Nope. Only two. All right. Luther Reigns going to finish this man off? Maybe. Possibly. Yep. Oh, goodness.
I feel like so many of these people were like in and out of wrestling like just so quickly.
Well, you got to remember, this was also the time John Laurinaitis was placed in charge of talent relations. And allegedly received some sort of directive from Vince McMahon saying, don't hire any guys under 6'3".
Right.
Yeah, so you got some tall guys in there.
Well, when business goes down, Vince goes to size. So.
Yes, he does. Let's see, who's champion now? Champions now? Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns. Well, that's on the men's side. Yep. Yep. Well, that guy's drunk. Yeah, with the sign, yeah.
So don't rub it in.
Right, I know. Whoa. If this was WCW, that would be an automatic disqualification. But okay. All right, so this is going to be, okay, yeah. Luther Reigns also probably best known for his Torch Talk interview with Wade Keller.
Yeah, I mean, he did it like days after he left WWE.
Yeah. It was a classic. Let's see. You should go, if you haven't seen it, go and search that one out.
Look at the guy in the front row. He's on his phone.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Hey, I'm on the pay-per-view. Yeah. Yeah.
There.
I'm looking for the guy with the giant fur thingy there. See?
Look at me. I'm on the pay-per-view.
Meanwhile, Kurt Angle's like, what the hell's the deal with that guy in the fuzzy hat? I don't know.
God, it would suck having to sit behind that guy.
I know.
Take off your hat!
All right, Charlie House obviously in big trouble here against Luther Reigns, the guy with the horseshoe haircut. Oh my goodness, not the half crab, whatever the heck this is.
What is that?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Not the half-ass submission hold. Not that.
Helping him stretch. What is he doing?
Anything but that.
Doesn't look like anything.
Not the chiropractic stretch.
Doesn't look like it. Okay. That looks like nothing.
Oh, he's gonna work it over again.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, Charlie Haas is in agony here.
I feel for him.
Yes. Okay. There we go.
Look at the guy behind the hat guy. Look at the guy behind the hat guy. He has to watch the screen.
Yeah.
The bald guy behind the hat guy can't see.
Well, of course not. That's part of the that's one of the risks you take when you buy those ringside seats.
That you're gonna sit behind an idiot?
Yes.
A jerk? Yeah.
Yes. Not only two.
They had Cena inflatable hands. God, I forgot about those too.
Oh yeah, genius.
Yeah, I mean, I know I didn't see this pay-per-view because I didn't. I only bought the big ones. I didn't buy the secondary ones.
Right. Why would you? Why would anybody buy this pay-per-view if they weren't like reviewing it for a website that they worked for?
Or filthy rich, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that could be it too.
Because, I don't know, even if money was no object, it's still like...
Why? Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when they give you a filler match like this.
Uh-huh. Oh, there we go. Yay! You got him. Nope. Okay. FBI's in the house. Come on, Luther.
Says, do it now.
Whatever you're doing, do it now. Oh, it's the Rick Cornell move from WCW. Yep. There we go.
That feels time.
Congratulations. It filled plenty of time.
There he is, the head of the table in 2004.
Yeah. 2021, he's not. 2021, he's not even allowed to sit at the table. He can't even sit at the kids' table.
He looks like the Ultimate Warrior when he was Blade Runner Rock.
A little bit. Well, that's probably why he's getting pushed.
It's the haircut, yeah, that too.
All right, let's see that. Let's see the highlights of that again. Well, actually, let's not.
The roll of the dice or whatever.
The roll of the dice. Yeah. Okay, well, that's the only real highlight we can show. Thank you. Okay. And Charlie Haas got to go home with Jackie Gatiss, so Charlie Haas wins. Oh, let's hear from your number one contender, JBL. Yep. All right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. This is JBL doing an obnoxious heel promo.
Mm-hmm. Or as many people call, just being himself.
Yeah. Or just being Vince, or just being an extension of Vince McMahon's ego.
Yeah, I mean, he does great promos and
yeah,
was committed and did everything. He just wasn't a big draw, and I think sometimes, sometimes people confuse that whether you're on top, if you make it to the top of the card, that you're a big drawing card, and sees like, you know, like all big people at the top of the card are equal, and they're not.
Right.
As far as what they drew.
Well, they were, I mean, they were desperately looking for something.
Yeah. Nobody could have done better. I mean,
no.
Not like there was some, I mean, John Cena obviously did, but I mean, there wasn't anybody else that was going to like suddenly draw money.
No.
So, I mean, he was the best option. I'm not criticizing him. I'm just saying that I think some people think he was a bigger draw than
Magic,
he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
You did fine.
Your worst nightmare comes true tonight. Jerry JBL becomes the champion.
He did a great speech at the Hall of Fame, too. I thought it was very good.
Yeah. And give him the hat.
You know what's that?
Yep. That's where it's at. All right. Welcome back to Norfolk.
Hang on, I've got a commercial.
Oh, you got a commercial?
Yeah.
Got to sign up for the commercial free option on Peacock, kids. The Navy's here. In the Navy. The seven seas in the Navy. They probably wouldn't want that. Okay, this is probably a good stopping point, by the way, because we're about to get the start of Rey Mysterio and Chavo Guerrero. And I think we're going to call a halt to the festivities here at 42 minutes and 45 seconds into the show. What do you think about that, Jim?
Sounds great.
It's the most successful independent wrestling promotion of this generation. It's the place where the stars of today made their name. Now get the inside story of Ring of Honor from those that lived it with an honorable mention. Join Ring of Honor alumni Shane Hagedorn and his co-host Jeff Schwartz as they break down a classic Ring of Honor event every Tuesday and get the behind-the-scenes scoop and inside stories that you won't hear anywhere else. An honorable mention, available every Tuesday on your favorite podcast platforms. For exclusive bonus content, plus early ad-free access to every show, check out patreon.com/anhonorablepod.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
Yes, so you've seen, like, you've seen three matches. So we're going to get back to this next week, and we're going to see next week's episode. We are going to see this match between Rey Mysterio and Chavo Guerrero, which, spoiler, it's a good match. It's, you know, I mean, how good it is sort of depends on who you are and what you think in general. And we're going to see a lot of other stuff that probably is better off forgotten. So that's all something to look forward to here on episode 352 next week. Yes. I'm trying to think of a better way to explain how this show went. Okay, you know the gimmick and the torch where, you know, all the columnists after the pay-per-view, they write down the reviews of the show and the scores from 1 to 10?
Yes.
Okay. So at the time, there were five of us reviewing the show. There was me, Wade Keller, Bruce Mitchell, Jason Pell, and I believe James Gutman. All five of our scores together did not add up to 10.
Wow, so this is quite a show.
This is quite a show, yes. And I mean, you know, there was nothing wrong with the Cena match. There was nothing great about it either. There was nothing wrong with Jamie Noble and Spike Dudley. I mean, but yeah, the holes in the show were bigger than what could be filled with the few good matches that they had. And that's really the story of WWE in this time period. Anyway, what's that?
This is a transitional time. It's like the attitude stuff isn't really landing anymore.
No.
And
they're doing it anyway.
They're still trying to find something, you know, trying to find a new identity. And obviously, eventually, they would hang that hat on John Cena and trying to be, you know, more family friendly. But it still takes a while. And that's kind of where we are here.
I mean, 2003, they leaned, the SmackDown brand especially, they leaned very heavily on Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
And, and I mean, yeah, the Lesnar, and the
guy who doesn't care.
Right. And when Lesnar's gone, you know, you don't have that big presence in there anymore. And, you know, you've moved guys, you've shuffled guys around. Then you're struggling. And this is what we saw. They tried to heat up JBL in a heck of a hurry. Okay, so go ahead and visit us on Twitter. I'm at RealPatMcNeil. He is at Jim Valley. And I would like for everybody to leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever your pods are cast. And, of course, if you'd like to know more about Spike Dudley, Jamie Noble, Booker T, Rene Dupree, or Rob Van Dam, you can visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or The Wrestling Observer, or you can go and download your local library app where they're all in books. Jim.
Hey, I want to mention that Pro Wrestling Tees is doing a 20% off sale through May the 3rd. So you can go there and get one
June the 3rd.
Whatever it is, June, whatever, for Memorial Day weekend.
Right, okay.
Whatever it is. Anyway, go there. You can see it online at Pro Wrestling Tees. Use the checkout code Memorial. Get 20% off. So you can look for all the fabulous wrestling t-shirts, including mine. So you could be the king of recovery yourself, regardless of your age or gender. So check it out there and do that. Same way back time, same playback channel.
And tell them Jim Valley sent you, folks. All right, so the month of so we're going to get into the month of June. We have more Great American Bash, Bray and Chavo, and there's the bull rope match that'll be coming up in hour 3, where Eddie Guerrero defends against JBL, and that is also memorable. And we're looking forward to doing this. We're looking forward to doing all of this with you, and hopefully getting some other shows as well as we continue the road to our big 7th anniversary finale here, as we wrap up our 7th season of the show. Until then, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery, next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.